Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, February 2, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, half the church had a birthday. Michelle Dillard, her birthday was yesterday. Darlene Abbott and Rich Blair, their birthdays are today. And fantastic to have the... And by the way, we were with Darlene and Cliff. Cliff Abbott, it looked better than he's looked in a long, long time. Not only that, he ate about a 10-course dinner. And he hasn't been able to do that for a long time. And he stood up on his own out of the wheelchair. And we had a fantastic dinner last night at Alan Sherry's. And so it was a very, very fun. You talk about couples going through undeserved suffering for blessing. By the way, in Romans chapter 8, we're going to have the last half of the chapter illustrating exactly what undeserved suffering for blessing is. That's coming up in Romans chapter 8. But they are going through undeserved suffering for blessing and honoring God and glorifying God in every detail, and that's fantastic to see. So anyway, Michelle's birthday yesterday, Darlene and Rich birthday today. Mine's passed, but if you want to catch up, you can, you know. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And it's great to see Mary Lou back. Fantastic. You keep doing this, we're going to have our dinner with all of the widows, you know. Fantastic dinner. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we fulfill that plan, it gives us, we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we can fulfill that plan and honor and glorify you to the maximum. And we ask, sir, that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word, that it might be encouragement and blessing to each one of our lives. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 sounds like this. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, i.e. what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God and His Word. Verse 6, so then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature is death, carnal death, and if you continue long enough in the cosmic system, the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit is life, resulting in eirene. Eirene, the Greek word that encompasses blessing in its widest form. Blessing, great grace, blessing from God. Eirene, peace. So after we place our faith in Jesus Christ, is that the end of God's plan for our life? Fire insurance is paid up. You believed in Christ, so then that's it. Is that the end of the plan of God for us? That's just the beginning. God's plan for you is to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You are left in this life, and we're not here a long time, but you're left here in this life to be blessed by God. This is the divine plan of blessing that began at salvation with the 40 salvation blessings, and we studied those in detail. And then every day from that day of salvation through faith in Christ, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world. And we studied that in great detail. Now, why does He send that logistical grace, blessing, and support? So that we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. And what is that plan? To grow up spiritually. Not to stay as babies or adolescent believers, but to grow up to teleos believers, mature believers, to attain spiritual maturity, to grow up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is having virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. Virtue, love, that great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates that great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And then, when that's fulfilled, God sends greater grace blessings down that grace pipeline. And the greater grace blessings are poured out on this believer in the status of spiritual maturity. And we studied the greater grace blessing package. It's several categories, the spiritual blessings, the temporal blessings, the blessing by association, the historical blessings, the dying grace blessings, the undeserved suffering for blessings. We studied all those categories in great detail. Your attitude toward God and your attitude toward the Word of God in time determines all grace blessings for time and for eternity. In eternity past, God designed greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity for each one of us. The believer can never lose his salvation or eternal life in heaven, but you can lose your greater grace blessings for time and lose out on the greater grace blessing for eternity. You don't want to do that. He can lose his greater grace blessing through negative volition to God, negative volition to the Word of God, living your life out of fellowship with God, living your life in Satan's cosmic system. And when you do that, you wind up making yourself the enemy of God. You're in reversionism. Loss of greater grace blessing for time means loss of greater grace blessing for eternity. And therefore, your attitude toward God and toward the Word of God on a daily basis is the determining factor in the angelic conflict. For the royal family of God, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the means of glorifying God to the maximum. Negative volition to Bible doctrine and arrogance, well, you make yourself unteachable. You're not teachable because you're too damn arrogant. And that results in the bad decisions to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. This results in the loss of greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity. Thus, the importance of positive volition and humility. Just takes two gifts. This is a local church. When you come to this local church, you come bringing two gifts as you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Positive volition, you want to see what the Lord has to say to you. And secondly, humility, respect. Respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And that brings us to verse 7. And so far we've exegeted in verse 7. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility to God. Hostility against God, and that means makes you the enemy of God. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God, it makes you the enemy of God. And then we have, for it is not subject to the law of God. Now we have the reason why. How do you make yourself the enemy of God? Paul tells us now in the rest of verse 7. For it is not subject to the law of God. That means disobedience to God's mandates. We have the post-positive conjunction gar plus the present middle indicative of hupotasso with the objective negative uk. And when you have the objective negative, it slams the door. Plus the dative singular of namas with the definite article. Plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction gar. Very good, by the way, Dave. That was hard to get three of them on there. Glad it wasn't four. Gar. G-A-R. Now, this is an illative gar. And the illative use of gar introduces a reason. It gives the reason why the mind of the believer controlled by the sin nature is hostile to God. And therefore, you correctly translate it for. And then we have Hupotasso, the verb, plus the objective negative, which slams the door, plus the dative singular of namas, law, or for the word of God, and the genitive singular of theos. And this together gives the reason. So we start out with hupotasso. Great word, hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. Hupotasso. All right, a couple of things on this verb. This is a unique verb. This is a military term. This is a military term. It means to be subordinate to authority. That's one of the great things about the military. One of the great things of being in the military is you ordinate and subordinate to authority. And it's awesome. It's great. You have, you go through your training. You have DIs, drill instructors, that get in your face and yell at you and tell you, what are you? Don't look at, what are you looking at? Don't look at me. Look past me. You call that, what's wrong with your shoes? Your, those are not shine. What's wrong? And your tie, horrible. You know, and just everything, you can't do, you don't do anything right for a while. Yell at you. And if you say, no respect, go, oh, I don't like this. Oh, you don't like this? Well, you don't say that. You, it may take you a month to get out of KP. It's great. It's great because you learn to be subordinate to authority. What's fantastic about the military? And it's something that every young man should go through to understand respect for authority, orientation to authority, subordinate to authority. That drill instructor, when you first get there, he is the authority. Might be a drill instructor, might be an RI, ranger instructor. But you always have a commanding officer over you. That is fantastic. That's hupotasso. It's a military term. It means to be subordinate to authority. The objective negative, point two, the objective negative, ook, slams the door. The mind of the believer controlled by the sin nature absolutely cannot subordinate itself to the authority of God and the Word of God. So the objective negative ook slams the door. The mind of the believer controlled by the sin nature absolutely cannot subordinate itself to the authority of God or the Word of God. Three, to namo tu theou. Namas is the law, the word. Theou, God. Literally, this is the law of God. The law of God. Four, this, the law of God, this is the will of God. The will of God as revealed in the Word of God. To namo Tutha'o, the law of God. This is the will of God revealed in the Word of God. Five, this insubordination to the Word of God is based on both neglect, it's based on both neglect or rejection of God's problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1, 9. And negative volition to Bible doctrine. This insubordination to the Word of God is based on both neglect or rejection of God's problem-solving device of rebound and negative volition to Bible doctrine. Six, the status of carnality and reversionism is insubordination to the authority of God. Insubordination to the authority of God presented in the Word of God. The status of carnality and reversionism is insubordination to the authority of God presented in the Word of God. Seven, a principle. Insubordination in one area of life always overflows to other areas of life. Insubordination in one area of life always overflows to other areas of life. So verse 7 now says, corrected translation, because the mind set on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word. Get that? Because the mind set on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God, for it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word. Now, the next phrase, Paul says, neither indeed can be. This is very powerful. This is the conjunction gar plus the negative conjunction ude, combination of the objective negative u and de, plus the present middle indicative of dunamai. And the conjunction gar introduces a cause or reason once again, and correctly translated because. Correctly translated because, and then the negative conjunction ude. Ude, combination, first the objective negative u, O-U, and then the conjunction de, you combine them, ude, and it means not even. Not even, that's the corrected translation. Not even. Ude joins negative sentences or clauses to others of the same kind. And then we have the verb dunamai. Dunamai, D-U-N-A-M-A-I. We get the noun dunamis, and dunamis we get the English word dynamite. It means to be able. Literally, dunamai means to be able. But when you have ude with it, you are not even able to do so. So dunamai means to be able, but with ude, it correctly translates, not even able to do so. The present tense is a nomic present, giving a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: the individual controlled by the sin nature absolutely is not able, absolutely is not able to subordinate himself to the authority of God or the authority of the Word of God. So the axiom, the individual controlled by the sin nature absolutely is not able to subordinate himself to the authority of God and His Word. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The individual believer performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the Word of God. So verse 7, very powerful, sounds like this. Because the mind set on the sin nature, that is controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word. Because it is not even able to do so. Powerful. Let me give you that again. Because the mind set on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word. Because it is not even able to do so. All right. One. The believer, controlled by the sin nature, makes himself the enemy of God. You do it all by yourself. Nobody else's fault. The believer, controlled by the sin nature, living by the lust patterns of the sin nature and in Satan's cosmic system, you make yourself, by your own bad decisions, you make yourself the enemy of God. Two, this is the status quo of every reversionistic believer. This is the status quo of every reversionistic believer. Three, the reversionist has placed himself back under the authority of the first husband as an unbeliever, that is, the sin nature. The reversionist has placed himself back under the authority of the first husband, the sin nature, who was the husband, first husband, when you were an unbeliever. Four, the believer controlled by the sin nature not only is not subordinate to the authority of God and His Word, the believer controlled by the sin nature not only is not subordinate to the authority of God and His Word, but he is also completely incapable of doing so. He is also completely incapable of doing so. Five, for the believer to be trapped in the wrong mindset, that is controlled by the sin nature, is to be trapped in a life of continuous defeat. For a believer to be trapped in the wrong mindset, controlled by the sin nature, is to be trapped in a life of continuous defeat. Point seven, this is precisely what the Apostle Paul described in Romans chapter 7:7-25. Which we studied in great detail, and I refer you to that chapter and your notes on that. But this is precisely what the Apostle Paul described in Romans 7:7-25. Seven. The believer must be subordinate to the authority of God and to the authority of His Word, or he cannot fulfill the plan of God for the church age. He cannot live the spiritual life, that unique, fantastic, wonderful spiritual life God has for us in the church age. The believer must be subordinate to the authority of God and His Word, or he cannot fulfill the plan of God for the church age and live the spiritual life. Eight. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, that's Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It means to be empowered by the Spirit. It's used of plerao, wind filling the sail of a ship and empowering it and moving it through the water. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on walking by the power of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Galatians 5:16. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, empowering your life, divine power, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. It demands the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. So the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God in your heart. Getting the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. The believer cannot grow spiritually. So without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, empowering you through the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, getting absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, the believer cannot grow spiritually, cannot grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot attain spiritual maturity, cannot fulfill the ultimate objective, and have virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. 9. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, living the spiritual life, and getting metabolized doctrine in your heart, you wind up becoming the enemy of God. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life, and getting metabolized doctrine in your heart, you wind up becoming the enemy of God. 10. The believer controlled by the sin nature is characterized by hupotasso, insubordination. The believer controlled by the sin nature and its lust patterns is characterized by hupotasso, insubordination to the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. 11. He is insubordinate to the authority of God and the authority of the Word of God. He is insubordinate to the authority of God and the authority of the Word of God. So this is a very powerful verse, Romans 8, verse 7, which says, because the mind set on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word, because it is not even able to do so. because it is not even able to do so. All right. Well, we need to take a look at principles of authority. Principles of authority. And first of all, let's take a look at Greek words for authority in the God-breathed scriptures, in the New Testament scriptures. We have several of them that are used in the Word of God. You need to know all these. First of all, the one we have here in our passage, hupotasso, which is our verb in Romans 8:7. It means to be subordinate to authority, military term. And hupotasso is used in Romans 8:20. It's used in our verse here, 1 Corinthians 14:32, Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18. So hupotasso is used throughout this. Interesting, in some of the places it's used, for example, in Ephesians 5, it's used for the divine institution of marriage. And in the divine institution of marriage, there's a husband. Well, this is the divine institution of marriage, a husband and a wife. And in the divine institution of marriage, the husband is the authority. 100% to zero. 100% to zero, the husband is the authority. And it's not 50-50. It's not 25 man, 75 woman. It's not zero man, 100 woman. It's 100% the husband is the authority and the wife is zero. And the wife is commanded, hupotasso, be subordinate to the authority of your husband. That's the mandate in Ephesians 5. Be subordinate, hupotasso, to the authority of your husband. And that doesn't mean that the husband has the right to abuse his authority in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the husband's given a command also, love your wife as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love your wife. Even when she's at her worst, love her with impersonal love for all. There'll be times when she's great and there'll be times when she's not so great. You love her at all times with impersonal love for all. That's the mandate for the husband. You men, the husbands, you really have a major issue. Love your wives with impersonal love for all as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The command for the wife is hupotasso, be subordinate to the authority of your husband. So in those passages that's used, hupotasso is used in different areas. Secondly, there's the verb hupakuo. Hupakuo. That's H-U-P-A-K-O-U, long O. Hupakuo. Now, this is actually a compound word. We have the verb akuo. Now, akuo is, we get our word acoustics. It means to hear or to listen. So literally, akuo means to hear or to listen. And hupa means under authority. And in a local church, you assemble with positive volition and humility to learn and listen under the authority of God, under the authority of the Word of God, under the authority of the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the teaching ministry of the pastor teacher. That's grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity includes two individuals teaching. the gift of pastor teacher, teaching the Word of God, and then God the Holy Spirit takes that and teaches you in your soul. So it means, hupakuo means to literally to listen or hear under authority. And then it came to mean to obey, to be subject to. And this word hupako is found in Romans 6:16, in Ephesians 6:1, in Colossians 3:20, in Matthew 8:27, in Luke 8:25. So hupotasso and hupakuo, there's two of them. Now we have a third one in the Word of God. Patho. P-E-I-T-H long O. Patho. And patho means to obey. To obey. And this is found in Galatians 3:1, Galatians 5:7, Hebrews 13:17, James 3:3. Now the opposite of obedience, you have a choice, you have a free will. You have a free will and you have a choice. You can obey the mandates of the Word of God or you can disobey them. It's up to you. I'm not here. I can't make anybody do anything. I'm not going to try you. I'm just going to teach you what the Word of God says and then you take it from there. You're free to obey the Word of God and you're free to disobey the Word of God. That's strictly up to you. So if you don't obey, then you disobey. But who are you disobeying? You're not disobeying me. That's not the issue. You're disobeying God. You're disobeying the living and true God. It's His Word. It's His Word. It's the Word of God. It's the mind of Christ. It's the voice of the Spirit. It's not my Word. God has simply given me a spiritual gift to tell you what His Word says. But you can have, obey the Word of God and the mandates given to you, or you can use your free will and disobey the Word of God. A lot of Christians are doing that today. That's patho. And then there's patharkeo. P-E-I-T-H-A-R-C-H-E, long O. Patharkeo. So you can see we got patho again. It's a compound word. That's half of it. And the other half are people in authority, rulers. And it means to obey rulers or to obey those in authority. And patharkeo is found in Titus 3:1. And then there is kuriotes. K-U-R-I-O-T-E long S. Kuriotes. And kuriotes is obey those in authority. That's found in Jude verse 8. So we have hupotasso, hupakuo, patho, patharkeo, kuriotes. These are all words in the God-breathed scriptures on the principle of authority. So, so important for us to understand. And then you decide. You decide, you have a free will. God gave every member of the human race a volition. A volition. You all have a free will. A free will. And it's great. Free will is great. You're free to make good decisions. You're free to make bad decisions. You're free to believe in Christ. You're free to reject Christ. You're free to fulfill the mandate, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, or you're free to reject that. You're free to believe the Word of God. You're free to reject the Word of God. You have the freedom. We have a mandate. We're going to have communion here in the next class. You're commanded. That's a mandate for all the royal family of God, communion. You're free to follow, obey that. You're free to reject that. You're totally free. That's strictly up to you. And I can't make anyone obey anything. Now, my dog, and we don't have one now. We had about 30 dogs since we've been here. And those dogs are great. You know what about those dogs? Those dogs have humility. Those dogs respond and learn. And they listen to authority. We have had absolutely fantastic dogs. Now, cats are a good illustration of disobedience. Helen Ryder, I loved Helen. Helen was one of our widows in the church. She was absolutely fantastic. And when she moved away, she left her cats with Al. Now, we had to get the cat and everything out of where Helen was living. The cat was in this drawer. And I pulled the drawer out, and the cat I said, Al, I think this is your cat. So we're going to be looking at the Word of God has to say about principles of authority. And it starts all the way back when you came into this world. God gave us a principle of parents to train you and teach you principles of respect for authority, respect your mom and dad, respect authority, whether it's your teacher at school or your coach at school or whatever it is. And you start learning that. And I know you parents are doing, a lot of you are doing a great, great job in training your children in a Christian home. And you're teaching them respect for authority and all kinds of authority. It starts right there in the home. But if the children don't learn that at home and then go out, well, the whole society suffers as a result of it. And we are witnessing that in America today. Our whole society is suffering because the children never learned to respect the authority. They were never trained that in their home to respect their mom and dad and to learn to respect their teachers and their coaches and policemen on the corner and government and all these things. Authority is in all kinds, legitimate authority. God has set up all kinds of systems of legitimate authority. But because the children haven't learned that, there is no respect for that legitimate authority all throughout our society. And that's what we witness in America today. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday, and we're going to take a break when we come back to the Lord's table.